few days ago, you celebrated Chinese New Year. And as normal, every year, those of you who know me, I minister or teach on the year of the Chinese New Year animal. And this year is the year of the horse. I started this ministry at Butterworth Gospel Hall 3-4 weeks ago. I went on to Sungai Ara Gospel Hall, then over to Island Glades Gospel Center, and last week I was at Burma Road Gospel Hall. And today I gallop into Bukit Mekajam Gospel Center. And next week I shall be going to Burma Road Gospel Hall, the Chinese Assembly, and I shall complete the series of studies in Taipei when I go over there on the 23rd. Well, as an introduction, some of you might want to know what this year of the horse is about. Now, for the younger ones who have never heard of this ministry, and for those older ones, which is a reminder, may I just say that I began a Bible study. This is a Bible study of the animals connected with the Chinese New Year right back before 1978. I started on the year of the horse in 1978, and this is the fourth cycle, 36 years ago. None of you ever heard that first study on the year of the horse. Well, some of you might have listened to it in 2002, but again, while the title may be the same, the contents are all different. And I do see our brother Mr. Tan Tu, who is here and who was at Butterworth when he listened to me, to check, see whether what I say is repeated or not. Anyway, he is most welcome. But you will find a lot of things that are different, not only in the contents of the message, but also in the slides being shown too. Right. As an introduction, let me just tell you about the significance of the horse year. By the way, if you are taking down notes, please don't, because you will not have time to take down the notes. I am short of time and I'm going through the slides quite quickly. But I will tell you how to get the outline of these studies later on. Now, the horse played a very important role in history. For example, the horse was used by the Mongols in their battlefield, in their conquest of the lands around them, and especially in the attack of China. Mongolia would be to the northwest of China, and because China was afraid, China built the Great Wall of China. And that was built right in the time of Isaiah in about 7 BC. And today, we still see the Great Wall of China. And last year, I was privileged to walk up certain stages of that Wall of China. Now, the Wall of China was to prevent nomadic tribes from attacking China. So, they were using horses. The horse played a very important part in military warfare. So did Alexander the Great. He also used horses to try to conquer the world at his time. And so we find that the horse played a very important role in history. But today, we find that the horse also comes into play in certain fortune-telling activities. For example, in the horoscopes, feng shui, astrology, and so on. Now, I want to emphasize that today, my study of the horse of the year has nothing to do with any of these things. It is a pure Bible study. But let's look at what the astrologer says. For example, the astrologer says that the people born in the year of the horse, and I know there are some people who were born in the year of the horse. Now, let's see whether these things are true of you or not. One, you are popular, cheerful, skillful with money, perceptive, wise, talented, good with your hands, sometimes talk too much, have a weakness for members of the opposite sex, be careful, and impatient, hot-blooded about everything except their daily work, like entertainment and large crowds, very independent and rarely listen to advice, most compatible with tigers, dogs and sheep. I'm not going to ask those who are horses whether you are married to dogs, sheep or tigers. But you can be sure that many of these statements are general and are not true. And that some of these statements are also true of those who are not born in the year of the tiger. And so you find that all these pronouncements for fortune telling in horoscopes, in feng shui and so on, are not true. Do not rely on them. You need to go back to the Word of God. So let's see what they consider was the significance of the symbol of the horse. Now, the horse in astrology and horoscope, starscope, some of you read the star paper, and the first thing you do is look at the starscope and see your fortune for the day. The horse is the seventh animal in the zodiac calendar. And those of you who are Chinese, when you were young, you were made to memorize it Chu, Ji Gu, Sa Ho, Si Gu, and so on. Alright? Chick Bear. Alright? Seventh animal. Now, it is ranked the seventh among the 12 animals in Chinese astrology, and the horse is viewed as a symbol of bravery and strength. In fact, just a few days ago, I received a Chinese New Year email. May the swiftness, the safety, and the speed of the horse be yours for the year of the horse. And I wrote back, I hope you will not be horsing with the year of the horse. Because, as we are going to find out later on, the Bible doesn't have good things to say about the horse. So, anyway, the world around us, credit, traits as intelligence, endurance, speed, and perseverance to the horse. And they say that those who are born in the year of the horse are all these things. I hope those of you who are born in the year of the horse are these. That afterwards, hope to talk to you and see how I can learn from your intelligence, endurance, speed, and perseverance. Now, let us remember that the scriptures have a lot to say against all these fortune-telling activities. Please do not get involved. The scriptures, for example, in Deuteronomy 18:9-14, warns us about spiritism and the nine branches connected with spiritism. And the scriptures says it's an abomination. Deuteronomy 18:9-14, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who practices witchcraft, a soothsayer, one who interprets omens, a sorcerer, one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Remember, all these are an abomination unto the Lord, and Christians must not get themselves involved in all these things, because God hates them. In Deuteronomy 18:15-19, God tells us of the true prophet that would come. And of course, that true prophet would point to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the prophet, and recognized by the woman in Samaria. He said, "Thou art indeed a prophet." So, let us listen to what the prophet has to say, the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than to all these false prophets. How do we make a distinction between true prophets and false prophets? Deuteronomy 18:20-22 gives us the standard test. True prophets, when they predict, they will tell you of specific events that will come to pass in years ahead. The false prophet will tell you of certain things that will come to pass which are very general and which many of them do not come to pass. Now, that is the test. Do their prophecies come to pass or not? So, let us beware of these warnings from the scriptures concerning fortune telling. Alright. Now, the horse in biblical imagery. What does the Bible say about the horse? What is the lesson conveyed from the reference to a horse in the scriptures? The horse, the Bible says, is a symbol of speed. That's a knowledge. The world says it is the horse is characterized by speed. And the Bible acknowledges that. But the Bible has to say, you said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall you flee. And we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. People outside, people who are not godly, rely a lot on horses. We must not rely on horses. Strength and safety, Psalm 33:17. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Strong that the horse may be, yet without God, the horse is of no avail. And so we find that as we study the horse or the horses in the scriptures, they do not testify of the things that God wants us as Christians to possess or to refer to or to be associated with. Right. Now, those of you who are interested, may I tell you that the word horse or horses occurs 154 times in the scriptures. And what I did was to refer to these texts in the scriptures where the word horse and horse occurs in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, then take out some of these references which can help me present a message to you today on the study of the horse. And so, putting these verses together, I have this message which I now would like to present to you on the study of the year of the horse. First item, first heading, be not like the horse, though a horse is speedy. It is acknowledged, and the people refer to the horse because it is speedy as a good thing. But the Bible says, be not like the horse, though a horse is speedy. Psalm 32 verse 9, Jeremiah 8 verse 6. Now in Jeremiah 8 verse 6, we see that the word horse is used of a people quick to do their own thing. The people of Israel were very quick to decide what to do on their own. They refused to consult God. They refused to seek God's will. And they decided on their own and they were quick on their decisions. So do not be like a horse. If you decide on your own without consulting God, then you may be like a horse. What did they do? Now, these are the characteristics of people who are horses because they are quick to do their own thing. They refuse to obey God's word. 7:23 and 24. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice. Obey my voice. But what did they do? They hearken not, nor incline their ear. And perhaps, as you read God's word, God has been speaking to you, and God says, obey, but you hearken not. God says further, walk in his ways, walk in all the ways that I have commanded you. But what did they do? They walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart. And we would be like horses if we refuse to obey God's word and if we refuse to walk in his ways. And God also says that it may be well unto you. God wanted to wish us well, but what did they do? Instead of going forward, they went backward. They refused to obey God. Right. So, let's examine this further. God says, this thing commanded I them, saying, then he went on to say that it may be well unto you. It may be well. Now, what is this word well? This word well is from a Hebrew root which means well and literally sound, beautiful, figuratively happy, successful, right. If you want to be these things, then listen to God. Obey God, walk in his ways. Then God wishes you well. And it's this Chinese New Year when everybody wishes one another Happy New Year, Happy New Year, and so on, well, God also wishes you Happy New Year. But He says, I'll give you a year that is well with you. A happy and prosperous, successful Chinese New Year. Provided you obey God's word and you keep His word. You walk in His ways. Right. So it is use of a people quickened to do their things quickly. But the word house is also use of people quickened to the signs, not quickened to the signs of the times. They are not aware of the signs of the times coming. God was warning them, the horses are coming. What horses? Well, Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 16, there's a warning there. God told the people of Israel, the snorting of his horses was heard from them. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighboring of the name of his strong ones. For they are come and have devoured the land, all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. Yes, the horses are coming. And God warned Israel, look, the horses are coming. What horses? The horses from the north. They are coming from Dan. They are coming to Israel to attack. What horses? They were from Babylon. Babylon. They are coming from the north and they were attacking. And they should know, the people of Israel should know, because there were three times when they attacked Jerusalem. And the third time, God says, you have no more warning. And true enough, the Babylonians took Israel into captivity for 70 years. The horses are coming, but they didn't care. And perhaps we may fall into that condition also. People who are like horses, not quickened to the times of the hour. The horses are coming. How does it apply to us? Well, John in Revelation chapter 6, 2-8, also saw these horses coming. He saw a white horse coming in Revelation 6, 2-8, and we read that on that horse, white horse, he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. There was this rider on the white horse. He had a bow, but no arrows. How to shoot? Because his conquest was different. He was conquering by announcing peace to all. Peace, peace, peace. And people are taken up with that pronouncement of peace and they surrender to him. So he conquers the people around him with peace. It is people orientated. It is government by the people, government of the people, government for the people. There is a cry for peace. And that's what it was after the First World War. The League of Nations was formed so that there could be peace. But that peace, how could it last? That would be the first sign, the first horse. When we see these things coming, then we know the end times are coming very, very near. Let us pray here. That is still a second horse. And this horse is red. John saw. And what does that mean? Look at the rider. The power was given to him that sat upon it to take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Instead of a bow with no arrows, now a sword was given for him to kill and spread because of the blood that was shed. Peace will be taken away, and we should see this as a warning sign. When we see around the world bloodshed, people fighting against one another, country against country, blood everywhere, when we see this as a sign of warning to us, let us be well. Let us be quickened to the times and the seasons. There's still a third horse coming. And the third horse was a black horse. And this black horse, on the right, the rider sat on him, had a pair of balances in his hand to weigh things. So that for one denarius, that would be the wage of one day, a person could only buy a measure of wheat and three measures of barley. And that would mean inflation. That would mean prices of things are rising. And so people suffer famine. People starving all over. And this is the time perhaps you need to be aware. And perhaps this is the time when you hear people coming together and say, Turun, Turun, Turun. This is what is going on. When we see these signs coming, then we need to know that the day of the Lord is coming very soon. So there's starvation in spite of all the plenty that we have around us. Then finally, there is a pale horse that is seen. And his name that sat on him, death and Hades followed with him. Power was given unto him them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death. Of course, after starvation, these people would die. And then when they die, their souls will go to Hades, not hell, Hades, the place of the departed dead, waiting for the judgment day at this great white throne to come, when all of them will be thrown into hell. So these are the challenges facing us with the pale horse on a rider on the pale horse. Perdition, battles and plagues coming in, and these are signs. These are signs. So be not like the horse, though a horse is speeding. First heading. Second, or the third point on this, is use of God's people who must be quick to know the times and the seasons. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 16. And verse 16 and verse 7 in particular, my people know not the judgments of the Lord. God's people, seeing all these signs, did not know, referring to Israel at that time, of the threat of the Babylonians coming to attack them. But we also need to take heed of the signs. As we see the bloodshed, as we see the peace being taken away from us, as we see injustice, as we see unrighteousness, as we see all these things around us today, even in our country, let us take care. Be warned, for now it is high time to awake. Romans 13:11. Rise up to the times, let us sleep no more. To redeem the time, for the days are evil. And to realize that now is the time, because now is the day of salvation. Now is the time of redemption. Christ is coming very soon. And so we find, be not like the horse, although a horse is speedy. Secondly, believe not in a horse, though a horse is strong. Some people think that the horse is strong, but be not trusting the horse. Psalm chapter 20 and verse 7. Trust not in horses, trust not in chariots, but believe in the name of the Lord. More about this later on. But in the meanwhile, let us realize that negatively, our strength will fail without God. Psalm 33:17. A horse is a vain thing for safety. If you trust a horse, it is a vain thing. Be it found in horses, because they are many. Isaiah 31:1. Woe to those who rely on horses. Woe to those who trust in chariots, because they are many. Woe to those who trust in horsemen, because they are very strong. And they look not to the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Now, I wonder whether today we are living in this kind of situation where we depend a lot on the material things around us, and we don't seek to think that there are important things which are more spiritual and which need our attention. Then, if so, we are horses, and we need to realize that our strength will fail without God. So, without God, they will fall miserably. Remember, God also has his own horses. If you refer to 2 Kings 6:15-17, you will realize that, remember, one day Israel was surrounded by their enemies, the Syrians. And Elijah, his servant, one day, early morning, went out to the camp, and he saw that the Israeli camp was surrounded by the Syrian camp. Yeah, horses and chariots were all around. And he was afraid and he cried out. And Elisha told him, "Do not be afraid. For those that are with us are more than those who are with them." And God, Elisha prayed to God, "Open the eyes of my servant." And he saw chariots of fire and angels and horses all surrounding the Syrian camp. So let us not be afraid. Very often we go after the material things in order that we might prosper. This new year, if this is our resolution, let us beware that these things will one day fall. Alright. Negatively, our strength will fail. Positively, our strength will focus on God. Psalm chapter 20 and verse 7. Not in material props. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, not in general prowess. Horses will be your natural abilities, but in God's supernatural and powerful name, to remember his name. Now, let me just give you a very simple example what it means not to trust in chariots and horses. Chariots. For example, this morning, I came here. My chariot is this laptop. If I trust this laptop alone, this laptop will fail me. It has failed me a few times already. The equipment that I use, they have also failed me. So if I want to do the work of the Lord, and I trust in chariots, in the ability of strength of these chariots, this equipment to help me in my ministry, they will fail one day. They will fail. And often they have failed me. And just now it nearly failed me too. I could not get the slides onto the screen. Well, that's chariots. Do not depend on chariots. Then secondly, do not depend on horses. Horses will be my natural abilities. I'm very clever. I'm good. This is the strict time I'm giving the ministry. Don't trust in the Lord anymore. Go out in your own strength. And you'll find this at times. When I would stand up before the people, my mind would go blank. Like last Sunday, I was at Balmoral Hall and I was trying to refer to Elisha and his servant. And then as I referred to that illustration, bang, my mind went blank. And I just could not remember the name Elisha in front of all these people in front of me. I was so embarrassed. Don't rely on horses. Don't rely on chariots. They will fail you. You must rely on the name of the Lord. Remember God's name. Today, the name of God is threatened. Every place in our country, we must stand up for the name of God. The name of God is threatened and we must not fail and we must not fall. We must look to God to protect his own name. So, remember his name. Those of us who are going through this year with some difficulties and problems in our lives, when the path before us is dark. By the way, go home. Read Psalm 10, chapter 20. It is a beautiful chapter. I shall refer to it later on when I end. Because there you find the name of God repeated again and again, again and again. When the path is dark, his name is our deliverance. When the path is hard, his name is our defense. Chapter 20, verse 1. When the path is good, his name is our delight. Go back, read Psalm chapter 20. Let Psalm 20 be your chapter for this Chinese New Year. And then let it be your trust in God, in God's name. Rejoice in God in times of prosperity and rejoice on God in times of adversity. In other words, remember God for time and eternity. Let us stand up for the name of God. More about this when I conclude later on. Right, so thirdly, affirmatively let our strength be in faith, trusting God. Psalm 147 verses 10 and 11. God says, "He delights not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, for those that hope in his mercy." So let us trust not too much on the equipment, the material things that we have. Let us not trust too much on the natural powers of our being. that trust God. God's strength is superior to any might. Hosea 1:7, God says this: I will save them by the Lord, their God. I will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. These will not be used by God to save us. His name is the one that we must trust. In God's Spirit is supreme over any might, over any goodness that you can find around us. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 has this to say: Not by might, nor by power, nor by my spirit, saith the Lord. It is not by might. Don't depend on the multitude of houses, the amount of property that you have, the richness of the material things that you have. Do not depend on them. It is not by power, the might of horses, what you can do, what you have in your being. All should be surrendered to the Lord and to the Spirit's guidance, because it's by my Spirit that the Lord, mighty of hosts, can do things with you. Alright. So be not like the horse, though a horse is speedy. And thirdly, behave not like a horse. Alright. There's a mistake there in the numbering. It should be C. Behave not like a horse, because a horse is stubborn. Psalm 32 verse 9. Be ye not like the horse, or like the mule that have no understanding, like this stupid horse here. Don't be like a horse, because a horse is stubborn. It needs the whip for control, or it will become headstrong. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 3. A whip for the horse. Dr. Kong just now mentioned about the whip. The whip is needed for Christians. God chastens those He loves. And some of us sometimes, perhaps through this year, are even expecting problems to come into our lives. And perhaps this may be a form of a whip that is used on us. But let us be able to endure. After all, the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, has endured that and has finished well, looking forward to the joy that is before Him. So as you go through these things that God has allowed into your life, look forward and be joyful that knowing that the Lord is with you. And the Lord will see you through. He will not allow you to be tempted, to be tried above that which you are able. God chastens those who loves. Therefore, the very fact that you are going through this problem today, or persecution or trouble, because He allows you to go through, to make you into a better Christian, into a better person, to equip you better, that you may be useful to Him. So you need the horse, needs the whip. Be under the master's direction. Psalm 32 verse 8. God promises that He will instruct and teach you. He will guide you with His eye. Be under the Father's discipline. Hebrews 12. God chasteneth those whom He loves. Alright, so a horse needs a whip. But a horse also needs the bit and the bridle for constraints. The horse needs a whip, otherwise it will be headstrong. The horse needs the bit and the bridle so that it will not rush headlong into danger. Psalm 32 verse 9. Be ye not like the horse that have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. What is this bit and bridle? The bit is this metal piece in the mouth of the horse that a rider uses to control the horse. So that in James, the author refers to this bit, that although it's a small piece, yet it controls the whole body. In James chapter 3 verse 3, surrender yourself to God, allow Him to allow that bit to be fit into your life, and also the bridle, in order that He may control every bit, every body movement. Surrender to God this new year, and He will lead you through. Alright, so it needs the whip for control. It needs the bit and bridle for constraint. It needs the hook for compulsion. Now, in future, as we read in Ezekiel 38 verse 4, there's a wonderful prophecy. God one day will bring the nations to attack Israel. These nations may be unwilling, but God will put a hook to them. As it were, they were horses, and pull them out of their comfort zone, and they will attack Israel. Now, let's see. I will bring the horses forth. That will happen in the day of the Lord. It's coming, but we see the signs now. From all over the earth, Ezekiel chapter 38, 2-8, 14-16, Gog and Magog, and all the countries north of Israel, God will drag them out of their comfort zone, and they will attack Israel. The armies in the north, Russia, and all those countries north of Israel, they will come and they will attack. And God will destroy them, and then they will be buried in the valley of Hamon Gog. Where is that place? It is somewhere here. Not this country of this part of Israel. It is going to be a better place in time to come. God will bring not only these armies in the north, God will bring all kings, neutral and otherwise, to the valley of Armageddon. Revelation chapter 19. That will be Armageddon. I purposely leave this part of the map here to show you its connection with Armageddon. And so, the battle will take place. Other armies from around the world will be drawn. Whether they like it or not, God will put hooks to their nose, their noses, and pull them along. God will carry out His plan. All nations will go to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Joel chapter 3 verse 2. Valley of Jehoshaphat. And so you find that that place in the future will become a center place of battlefield, where all the various armies will be collected, and the final battle, the battle of Armageddon, will take place. So, I will bring forth the horses from all over the earth. But not only from all over the earth, but also from the bottomless pit. From the bottomless pit. So that we read in Revelation chapter 9, in the fifth judgment that will befall the earth, these pit occupants of the bottomless pit, that locusts and with the sting of scorpions, they and shaped like horses, they will come. And they have got faces like horses, with a crown on their head, and lion's hair, and they will come, and they will attack the human beings on the earth. And so, these creatures from the bottomless pit will be gathered, as it were, God pulling them out by their horses, by their hooks. Locusts, by the appearance of horses. This is confirmed for us in Joel chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, that during that day of the Lord, there will be locusts that have the appearance of horses, and they will also come forth. So, from all over the earth, from the bottomless pit, and from heaven itself, the horses will come. What horses will come? Firstly, there will be the appearance of the faithful and true on the white horse. Chapter 19 verse 11. The Lord Jesus Christ will come on the white horse. He will come and heaven will open, and He will come and He will lead an army, and the army of saints falling on white horses too. Revelation 19:13. I'm not imagining things. This is not the sign of technology. Alright? These things will come true. So we who have been raptured to be with the Lord will then come back with the Lord on white horses. Now, I'm not sure whether it's literal or not. Don't pin me down on that, please. But we will come down and we will be with the Lord, as He will then bring to end that program for Israel, to bring Israel and to bring the world into His ultimate future program for all of them. All right. So, summary. What have we learned? Be not like the horse. Though a horse is speedy, believe not in a horse, though a horse is strong. Behave not like a horse, because a horse is stubborn. Very stubborn horse. It won't go into its own place. All right. So, conclusion. As I finish, I want to give you my Christmas and my Chinese New Year greeting for the year. Be always remembering the Lord of hosts. The New Year benediction, Psalm chapter 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion, whoever you are sitting down in this place before me. Remember all thy offerings and accept the burnt sacrifices, Selah and Amen. Grant thee according to thy own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Then I suggest to you the New Year banner that we must raise. Today, around us, many people protest and raise banners. We too must raise our New Year banner. And what is our New Year banner? Verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petition. And finally, we'll give you the New Year belief that should keep us strong. Let us not be afraid of other groups of people trying to confuse us, trying to lead us astray, because our belief is so weak that we can easily be confused and we can be easily led away and led astray. No, let our belief firmly be upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in the chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And I'm speaking not only on behalf of individuals here, but also as a church, Bukit Mentajam Gospel Center. We will remember the name of the Lord. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. There is the individual confidence. I know first you, yourself, the Lord. Then together, let us join in mutual reliance on God to defend our faith, to strengthen our belief in the Lord. So, we take this opportunity to wish all of you a blessed and fruitful Chinese New Year. And we use the word prosper in the sense of being prosperous in Joshua 1:8, that you read God's word, you obey his word, you walk in his ways, and in that way you will be prosperous. And you will also be well, that because the Lord has commanded that you walk in his ways and you obey him. May the goodness of the Lord be with all of you this Chinese New Year. And for those of you who missed out taking down notes, here is the opportunity for you to know, to go back to my website to listen again to what has been said, to look again the slides, and also to have an outline of this study all over there. All right, let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this time that we have spent at the Lord's Supper, remembering our Lord, he, the one who is without sin, who knew no sin, and who did no sin. And yet, Lord, he was made sin for us. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. We thank you for this. And we ask thee that thou would help us to so look unto him, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. And this year, might not be an easy year for us. Thou may allow us to go through some difficulties, problems, trials. Help us, O Lord, to know that these things come with Thine allowance and permission. And therefore, Lord, we should look to Thee for help to go through this time, knowing that Thou will not allow anything too difficult for us to bear to come upon us. But with each one, Thou will give us a way of escape, trusting Thee, depending upon Thee, and calling upon Thy name to help us through this year. We commit all in this assembly into Thy hands. Bless each one and the families that they represent, that, Lord, this year may be a very prosperous year, a year that is well with them. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.